God, I just pray that that is a hope and encouragement as we try to go through this world and this life. And yet, Father, that will encourage us. And that's where we find our hope, in the fact that you know. And Lord, at the same time, when we are busy and we are setting aside the time that we should have with you, you also see and you know that. And God, I just pray as we balance out the world and we live and the time with you, and Lord, I pray that we prioritize in our life the things that will reflect you more so than anything else. And God, we just thank you for being a God that we know knows. And Father, as we ponder that tonight, even looking at through the scriptures, I pray that you open the heart and the mind, and Father, that we continue to just study and grow together. And Lord, I just thank you for the truth that you allow us to understand so that we can apply and live it to our lives. And Lord, we just give you the glory in your son's name. Amen. As we've been doing on Sunday nights, we've been taking a section or a part of something that we've looked at this morning. And turn back in your Bibles to John 8. I just want to talk more about this phrase that Christ used when he stated in verse 12 that he is the light of the world. In that phrase, there is so much. Most of us probably understand what the intent of that his word is a light to our path, as we find in Psalms, and that that light of his word guides us and directs us. But in the context that we find this phrase in was quite interesting, because in this context, it stated, first of all, that what was going on in this time. And in this text, when Christ was doing his teaching and Christ was doing his the sermon to the individuals, what we find is that it was the Feast of the Tabernacles. And so when Christ was teaching through the temple time and realizing that as he's teaching, the major event that was going on basically speaks volumes of why he used that phrase. And interesting enough, just for a little bit of understanding, the lighting, the giant lamps that were in the woman's court of the temple, or of the going into the temple area, those lamps, interesting enough, the wicks were made from the pieces of the worn-out garments of the priest. And so they would take these wicks, and they would take the garments, and they would wind them all together, and they would light up the whole tabernacle. And so on these major, or at least these giant candles, as the wicks were lit, the light would illuminate the temple, and the people would gather to sing praises and worship their God. So with that mindset, and again, what I love when you study the culture, when you study the context in which the scriptures in the moment were written, Christ always used very real and very literal illustrations that they would get very readily. The problem was they didn't understand the intent behind them. They understood the concept of the light. They understood the concept of the candles and the lighting of them. But without those candles lit, they would not have been able to see or have illumination to praise God. So when Christ comes on scene and says, I am that light, I am the one that illuminates so that you can sing praises and worship your God. And so to me, that gives a little bit of a different understanding, a little bit of a different bent to it, because it's very fitting during this Feast of Tabernacles, as they were burning, Christ used these words in verse 12 of chapter 8. Now, again, the world is in darkness is very much of a symbol of the evil and the sin that we have. And so when he says in verse 12 of chapter 8 that he is the light of the world, that world is simply the cosmos. It is the world, everything that they would have known otherwise of religion. And he says, so what is he saying to you and to me? What do you see when he uses that terminology about the world? He's lighting up the world as they would understand the candles lit the temple. He is lighting up the world. And when he lights up the world, he lights it up in a way that there is an area or there's an opportunity that we can praise God in the midst of the evil, in the midst of the sin, and in the midst of our world. So a lot of times, again, we think of this light. We think of the, as God says, he is the light of the world, the path, the guider of where we need to walk. But this is a different understanding. It's a different way to look at it, what that light actually does. So the Pharisees, of course, they would have got the idea of the candle. They would have got the idea of the light. They would have got the idea of the temple. But they missed the concept that it is Christ lighting the way to worship God in the midst of the evil world. So for you and I, to get that and understand that as he uses that, it's quite interesting because, again, the light, the Bible is a symbol of God, is holiness, and the light is everything that God is. And so if you and I have that God within us, you and I have that ability to have that light shine in us, God is saying everywhere you go, you are that light that illuminates an area where the praising of God can take place. And that just fascinated and intrigued me when I began to just visually picture this. You know, it's like Charlie Brown and the clouds and the blankets and all that kind of thing. When you look at the cartoon, you know, Linus, I think Linus, was that his name? He had that dark cloud over him all the time. It's like you and I, as children of God, we have this glow. We have this light. We have this ability that wherever we are in the evil world, the dark world we're in, we have, can illuminate, which creates a praise to God. And when you picture that in your life, everywhere you go, everywhere you walk, you have an ability to illuminate Christ or to illuminate God. And I think that's the example, and that's what they missed when they were talking here in John 8 about the light of the world. He's no longer, again, a light or not a light or any light. He is the light, the one and only light. So again, when he uses that in his illustration as he's teaching, again, right after the women taken in adultery, he simply says, I am the light of the world. Then he that follows me should not walk in darkness. Does that light ever go out? Does your light ever go out? I love it when I set y'all up. Christ's light never went out. Our light, that's a whole different deal. As my saying is, depends on what day of the week it is. Depends on what's going on. And to me, what a challenge it is to them, to the Pharisees, and also to us, when we look at the concept that, one, if our light goes out, there is no illumination to praise God. There is no idea of what Christ is trying to say. And so it encourages us, encourages me to realize that, you know, my light needs to stay bright. Now, with Christ in us, it never goes out, right? There's always that glimmer of light. There's always that light that there. But boy, we have installed the dimmer switch on our light. And that dimmer switch is our sinful nature. And as we have live in this world, we have the ability to dim that light more than what God ever intended it to be dimmed. And so when he is trying to tell them, listen, I am that light. I'm the one that's going to illuminate so that you can praise God. And then he gives it to us. What a responsibility. What a thing that we have that we can give. And again, if someone follows you, will they walk in darkness or will they walk in light? If we are to be the examples, we are to be the ones that share Christ. Again, I believe, and I said all my life, if God wanted to do this better and do it right, he surely would not have used us. He would have let Christ do it and just be done. He has a tremendous example. But we need to walk in such a way that the darkness around us is lit and people see Christ. See, that's the reason we have a testimony. That's the reason we have a life to live. That's the reason why we are to live Christ. It's, and, you know, all my life through church and being raised in church and studying and everything, you know, you to do these things out of obedience, you to do these things because it's what God says to do. But the more I study and more I see the reason behind what Christ is trying to teach, it makes sense. It makes complete sense. He had stated that they didn't get it. And we saw that this morning as we went down through some of the text earlier this morning. But this one verse, that he is the light, follow him, the darkness goes away. But, and again, at the end of that verse, but shall have the light of life. Pharisees therefore said to him, verse 13, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Why would they say that? Why would they say, you are speaking for yourself? It's not true. In the biblical context, does anybody know why they would say that? They were walking in darkness? Absolutely. They were not going to understand the spiritual intent behind that. What else would be there in the biblical concept? Yes, Mike? Exactly. Very good. They had a law or an understanding in the Jewish customs that if a man spoke for himself, it wasn't to be taken true. He needed two or three witnesses to come along and verify what would happen, what is being said, or anything else about it. Interesting enough, who would he call? Who would Christ call to verify who he is? Who can define him? Who can tell him? So there's no way, and again, this is a Jewish custom that I think that Christ sort of like blew out of the water. But when you see this idea, again, the law requirement was two or three witnesses to establish a fact. We find that in Deuteronomy 17:6 is listed there. And again, in the rabbinic tradition, they rejected every self-testimony that was ever given. They heard the voice from heaven, and they seen the Spirit, the dove, land on his shoulder. So there were the two witnesses. But when he claims to be the light of the world, at its baptism, yes, they knew it was him. But they didn't get it. And they just didn't understand. And that's when the darkness, them still being in the darkness, would not have allowed them to understand the positive of that or the spiritual side of that. So Christ is not only coming in and saying, I am the light, I am the one that's going to light the way. He's now declaring it of himself, breaking all of the customs, all of the codes and the creeds of the Jewish understanding. So, you know, giving these guys a benefit of the doubt, right? Could you imagine somebody walking on scene and just shooting all your sacred cows? And if you don't know what a sacred cow is, go into ministry and try to change things. And you'll realize what the sacred cows are. And so that's interesting. But anyway, we better not go down that road. And so he came in. And even though they should have known from the Old Testament teaching that he would come, they still didn't get it because they were too caught up in their custom codes and creeds of their religion. I want to tell you, that happens today a lot. It really does. Because what we've done is we've seen a kingdom witnessing desire, mission, strive, all of that. In the early church, there was no divisions of denominations. There was no division. And I'm not a universalist church guy, just so don't go there yet. But I truly believe that there is a kingdom of God that is worldwide. And I truly believe that man, in their own understanding, began to divide that kingdom of God and called it denominations. And begin to call it, well, we're not going to believe this because we think it's this. And we're not going to believe this because we think it's this. And all of a sudden you have this dissecting of the kingdom of God because of man's interpretation of the word of God. And we've come a long way in the wrong direction in that whole area. Now I'm saying there are reasons why the people separated. Some were going off the deep end and they're going out of scriptures. So yes, absolutely. If they're not preaching Christ and they're not following and hearing to the word of God, leave, get away. Don't do it. That's scriptural. But at the same time, we're going down a road that we could go back into verse 13 where the Pharisees didn't believe him because it was a testimony of himself. Because their custom and codes and creed says, no, that can't be true. They didn't even listen to the testimony. They didn't get that he was Christ. They didn't understand it because they were so caught up in all their custom codes and creeds. And as I studied through this, and I thought, you know, how many people walk into churches and walk out saying, I'll never come back? Because we're so involved and busy about our custom codes and creeds. We're so engulfed in how we do, we forget about what we do and who we're supposed to do it to. See, remember, we're the light of the world. We're supposed to have that light in us. And that light in us is supposed to do what? It's supposed to show in the darkness. It's supposed to illuminate an area of darkness so that the praises of God can be done. In fact, Scripture says they were praising him and dancing. They were just joyously worshiping God. And I hear testimony after testimony of individuals who've walked in and walked right back out. Or they've been involved in the church for a while, and then, you know, the proverbial something happens, and they got their nose bent, and whatever, and I'm never going back. And so they leave. And I think a lot of it is because we've got accustomed to our codes and creeds and our customs within the denominations. And so, and I'm not saying that they're all wrong. I'm not saying blow them out of the water, eliminate everything. What I'm saying is we got to be more careful to understand if ministry is going to continue in the modern day in which we live, we need to be more concerned about the light lighting instead of where we're lighting it. It's not my saying, it's not my choice of where my light goes. My light goes wherever God sends me, wherever God places me, wherever God places you. Your light is to go. Your light is to shine. And you can't get so caught up with, well, I can't go there. I can't do this. I can't be a part of that. And I got a friend of mine, and he may be watching this, I don't know. I got a friend of mine that, you know what his frontline ministry is? He's in a rock band. He sings all the oldies and goodies of the 80s. Do you know how many people he's won to Christ after the concerts? More than most of us. He calls it his frontline ministry. Now, is that for everybody? No, because some of you can't carry a tune in a bucket. I'm one of them too. So, obviously, that's not your ministry. But what I'm saying is, he went out beyond, and he let his light shine in a world of darkness. And he's got a phenomenal ministry. Now, you shouldn't be doing that. That's not right. Listen, people are getting saved. So if people are getting saved, how can we say it's not right? That's the difference between the custom codes and creeds of what we understand, right and wrong, and saying, you know what, God, wherever you want me to go, I'm going to go. God, wherever you want me to shine my light, I'm going to shine my light. And watch what God does in the process of that. The Pharisees were obviously just bringing that adulterous woman in, and then he was still teaching in the temple. And we saw this morning how he continued to go down through as we studied through the truth that we looked at in 31 and 32 this morning. But for them to look at Christ in verse 13 and say, it is not true, because you are the only one saying it. Man. And that bothered me. Because there's many times you and I talk about things, and I wonder if the people say, you know, that's not true because I saw your life a couple days ago. Or that's not true because, you know, I know who you are. I think it's important as we let our light shine. Because Christ answers them in such a way. You know, this self-authentication is sometimes the only way to get to the truth. In fact, this is sort of the lighter side of this. I read a saying the other day that said, if you see me talking to myself, every now and then, I just want an expert's opinion. Ooh, anyway. When Christ says in verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came, I know whither I go, but ye cannot tell me where I come and where I go. Who could he call? Christ couldn't call on anybody at that moment in front of them and telling them to bear witness of him. Sometimes that self-authenticity that I think we need to have is the only way to the truth. And you and I are the only ones who really truly know who you and I are. Because we're good at putting on our Sunday best. We're good at putting on our smiles. And as we do that, I think what he's saying here in the scripture is that I know what God has done for me. I know the change that he has brought in my life. If you don't believe what I'm saying, that's not my problem. And so Christ is saying, listen, you don't know where I am. You don't know where I come from. You don't know where I'm going. You have no way of talking and telling me. So same as what God told Job. And he told Job, who did I counsel with? Who do I bounce things off of when I have a question? Brings me another thought. Does God ever have a question? I think he has nothing but answers. I don't think God questions anything. That you and I who question all this on the process. But Christ answered in verse 14 very clearly, you cannot tell where I come and where I go. 15, you judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. So he did have a testimony. He did have a witness. But did that get him in more trouble when he said, I and the Father are together on this? Because that's what put him on the cross. The blaspheme that they said he did, saying that he and the Father are one, that he was God. And so they didn't understand. They didn't get this. And the first point that Christ brings out is, I am who I am, and I'm telling you that. Second thing is I'm not doing it alone. My Father also. And then he gives him a third point. And we see that in verse 17. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. Testimony of two men. It's true. You know that if I say it and God says it, then it's true. The problem is they never put it together. They never put Christ as the Messiah. They should have known through the teaching of the Old Testament. So in our lives, and I'm sort of going to slide this out into an understanding, that if our testimony and our talk match, we have two witnesses that God has done an amazing work in our life. If our talk does not match our testimony or our walk, then we have no witness. We have no one helping us because they're going to see what we do, not what we say. Our actions will always speak more than our words. And so in that light of that, again, we are that light. We are to do that. Christ said, listen, I am the light of the world. I've given you proof. My Father's given you proof. It's true even in your own law. Verse 18, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bear witness of me. And there's the two. So if we would take that and put it into our life today and understand it in a way that I think God would say, I want you to be that light. Because he said, we are the light of the world, correct? We are the salt of the earth. We are to be that glowing light where Christ could be praised and worshipped. And when I think of that again, where do you go? What do you think? Where do you say? What are you about? All those areas of our life that we go every day, can Christ be praised in the midst of that? And one of the fortunate things that I'm able to do every day is I go into a chapel every day and sit for a little while. Inside that chapel, there is a cross of Christ. There's a Star of David and there's a Muslim moon on the wall in that chapel. Because we have to include everyone. And that has become an unbelievable testimony. Because I was in there and a doctor come in and he says, which way is Mecca? So I'm like, pulled my phone out, got my compass. That way. Oh, okay. Where can I pray? You can pray right here. You allow me to do that? I'm sure. There's rugs. We have rugs in the chapel. They have rugs for the prayer rugs. They put them down. And the whole time he begins asking these questions. And he's talking about, can I do this? Yeah, you can do that. Is that okay? Sure, it's okay. And the last thing he said, if I ever have any religious questions, is it okay if I come to you and ask some questions? Absolutely. If I would have said no or don't believe in that, you have no right here, I'd have lost the bridge and I would have lost the seed that's planted in that guy's heart. You see, we got to understand our light needs to shine in the midst of the dark world. And we can't let, as Christ, listen, just because they didn't understand didn't mean he was not going to light up. Just because they didn't get it didn't mean he wasn't going to continue to shine in that world of darkness. And so to have that ability, to have that light that God wants us to be, he told us we are the light, salt of the earth. He wants us to be that light. We need to be willing to open up. We need to be willing to, within reason, accept other religions so that you have a bridge to share the truth. Have a bridge to share the truth. Because the moment you shut it down, you burnt your light, is now dim, and you're not lit where God can be praised. And we have to be careful with that. And again, there's a balance in all of that. We have to be very careful as we do that and we pursue that. But you have to know the balance, know the limit, know the lines. But that was a complete test of what we're all about. And so, man, I studied through that. And I thought, you know what? Christ faced it all the time too. Christ faced everything. And Sunday evenings, I'm going to try to develop them, pulling together some different ideas, but I'd like to go through and see Satan's response as he dealt with people. Because every time Satan dealt with anybody in the scriptures, he used scriptures to do it. He, evil, knew scriptures well enough to fool those who should have known. And that's us. That's us. He does the same thing. Because I'm seeing this light and I'm saying, okay, what puts this light out? Well, there's one. Satan bringing those things up. Satan dimming our light. Using just enough truth to put us in a place where we no longer shine as bright as we should. And there are many things. You start thinking about all the ways in which our light begins to be dim. And there are so many ways, so many things that go on in our life that dims that light. It's a busyness. It's our less time with God. It's all the things that we do every day. It's just so many things, not wrong things, but so many things that begin to put a little bit of turn on that dimmer switch. And before we know it, we're not illuminating. We're not praising God. And I tell you, if Christ ever would have done that, man, where would we be today? Knowing that he couldn't have done that. But if he would have done that and walked away from all of this, man, we'd have no hope. We'd have absolutely no hope. And yet we are given that same concept. You see, as he says in 15 about them judging, they're judging after the flesh. They're judging after their own mindset. So when they're telling him he's not true, as we talked this morning, everybody thinks what is right in their own mind is right, with no foundational truth to pull from. And that's exactly what he told the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day. You think they would have been pulling from the right truth. They would have been pulling from the Old Testament. So what got in their way? The custom, the codes, and the creeds. They were so about the ritual of what they believed, they missed the spirit. They missed the reason for. And that's basically the whole reason of God. And I think I studied through this, I began to realize how easy it is that we lose sometimes that reason for. Because we have to have that drive. We have to have that Spirit of God. We have to have that reason for. And when you open it up to the realms of, you know what, it's all about the kingdom of God. It's all about increasing the kingdom. Because in Matthew, it states that we seek that kingdom, right? Seek the kingdom of God. Seek his righteousness. Seek it first. It doesn't say seek your church, seek your denomination, seek your own deal. Seek the kingdom. Seek him. And then everything else works. Then everything else falls into place. And I tell you, the more people I talk to of diverse understanding, the more I realize that we set the stage, Christians set the stage for so many different beliefs. Because, man, we argue among ourselves so much. You know, we argue the word instead of live it. We want to defend the word instead of define God in our lives. And my challenge to me and the challenge to us tonight is this concept of being that light. It's my challenge to me, my challenge to all of us tonight. Be that light that illuminates to the praise of God so that others around you can praise God, so that others around you. And again, you can put many things into that. How you're living life, how you're dealing with circumstances, how are you responding to the hardships of life, how are you dealing with your God? And we shared this morning, are you listening? Are you living? Are you loving all the things that he loved? And I think as we bring this to a close tonight, realizing that on their quizzing and judging and testing him, we need to realize that everyone, again, has an opinion. But I wonder if that opinion is coming from a foundational truth or if that opinion is coming from their own fleshly understanding. And we need to determine that because you and I have the ability to share that truth. You and I have the ability to live that truth. We have the ability to go forward in that. And so that light, and if for no other reason, and I share this and we're going to bring it to a close, even though, man, I'm letting you guys out way early tonight. We started early. When we look at this, when it gets difficult, if you're real, every one of us have a battle raging within us. Every one of us have decisions to make every day. When it gets down to a point where you've got to make choices, remember why you are lit. Remember why you are to be the light. Because at any given minute when you make that choice, you could either dim it or you could brighten it. You could have a life brighter or you can have a life dimmer. And I think if you're like me, we need every accountability factor we can put in our lives. And so for me, I have accountability factor. If I'm going to make a choice or I'm in a situation or there's things going on around me, it's like, okay, God, I want to burn bright. Do I stay? Do I leave? Do I say something? Do I walk? What do I do? And it helps hold the accountability of the factor of don't make a choice before you verify. Don't make a choice before you get God involved because he's the one who gave you the light. He knows best how to keep the light in you. And he knows best how to brighten it in you. So ask him. Seek him when you turn your lights, when you have your lights. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our study tonight. And Lord, I pray as we continue to understand it in a way that really does hold us accountable. It does hold us in a realm of not allowing the judgment or allowing the understanding of men to deter us from the truth. And Father, I pray that as we go into this world tomorrow, and Father, no matter where we may be found, that Father, we hold our own lives in accountability to that light that is to be burning bright. And God, you gave us the example. Your light never dimmed in your son, no matter what he went through. In fact, it never dimmed as he walked the Via della Rosa to the cross. It never dimmed on the cross. And God, I pray as we see that as an example in our lives, that no matter what may face us tomorrow, no matter what may face us in the days ahead, that we're able to have that light, your light, shine through us in a way that there is illumination to praise you and to thank you for all you give us and how you bless us every day. God, we just raise it up to you and we lift it to you in your son's name. Amen.